I remember only flashes. A face over mine. A face I'd seen in DMZ Sarajevo, while a nightclub full of Nichtren and other paranormals danced to the throbbing beat below, and a hellhound dozed at his side. Round and heavy, square teeth that still looked sharp, cat-slit glowing eyes. The face wasn't human, for all that a human magi's hand had once drawn it in a charcoal sketch. The eyes were too big, the teeth too square, and the expression was inhuman.
Velokel, the hunter, allied to Eve. Anubis, help me.
She was not to be harmed.
She'll live.
I recognize that voice. I'd heard it taunting Jaframel.
Here is your payment. Consider our alliance renewed.
Darkness took me again, as I strained to open my eyes, to see, to fight. The next flash, a candle flame, red flame, crimson as blood, standing up straight and wavering in a non-physical direction, not guttering, but seeming to shudder anyway. I struck out with fists and feet, dimly aware I was in danger. Someone caught my wrist. Touch that sent fire through me and made my left shoulder crunch with vivid pain.
Be still.
I struggled against it. Against him. Felt the python squeeze of another mind close around mine. Power crushing down. He squeezed. Almost as I would with a werecane, but harder. Determined. This was no warning. This was a prelude to brutal mental rape.
No!
The core of stubbornness in me rose. The strengthless endurance that had kept me alive and conscious during some of the worst parts of my life.
What you cannot escape, you must fight. What you cannot fight, you must endure.
Scars in the fabric of my mind tore open, bled afresh. Tearing, ripping, my defenses resisted. Defying him, denying him entrance to my mind, to the innermost core of me. For a dizzying eternity, I was back in the shattered cafeteria in Rigor Hall. A feeder ripping and stabbing through my psyche.
No, I will fight. I will die before I endure another vicious mental assault. I cannot be violated that way again and remain sane.
Stop!
Female. Young. And edged with steel. A smell like baking bread and heavy musk. A smell I recognized. The smell of Androgyne. Doreen's daughter. Lucifer's child. And maybe mine, too.
Stop it! Didn't I tell you not to hurt her?
I fell into darkness again.
Hover. I'm in a hover.
My cheek was against freezing cold metal. The gauntlet on my left wrist propping my head up. My mouth hung slack.
Oh, something is very wrong.
I felt too weak, too fevered.
What is happening to me?
Burning fingers stroked my forehead.
Hush. It's all right, Dante. I'm here now.
I don't want you. I want Jaff Ramil. It should be him saying those words to me. Where is he? Jaff?
Power jolted down my spine. Spread through nerve channels, still screaming raw with pain. Detonated agony in my belly and my side, as if all the old wounds, from Lucifer's kick to the hellhound tearing into me, were slashing back open. More and more power was forced into me, with no regard for pain or humanity. Fingers stroked my forehead again, gently.
It isn't better. Jaframel wouldn't have hurt me like that. He never hurt me like that. Jaframel.
Soon enough.
The aura of her scent lingered, sinking into my head, confusing me, until I passed out again. When I woke next, my fingers slid against my breastbone. I lay on my back on something soft. I felt the arc of my collarbone, the calluses on my fingertips scraping as I reached instinctively for my left shoulder. Then, contact. Jaffernel's mark writhing and hot, bumps and ropes of scarring moving under my skin like the inked lines of my tat.
I don't care. I need you. Please.
The vision swallowed me whole. I sank into seeing out through his eyes as if I had never stopped. Had I always resisted before? I felt
my spine straight. Sitting in the middle of the circle, holding square, holding pentacle, the diagram spinning lazily against the glassy floor. Wrists braceleted with ignored agony. Shoulders afire, staring straight ahead with dry, burning eyes. The candle flame is low and guttering, now and then stretching. A few more hours and I'll be free.
The door opened, slowly, and she had come. As he had suspected, she could not ignore the chance to taunt him. Tall demon, the mark of the androgyne on her forehead, a sleek cap of pale hair and a half-smile that tore at him, reminding she was not the woman he wanted to see. She wore simple blue, the marriage color, a sweater and loose breeches hiding none of her slender grace. The aura of an androgyne spice, the potent smell of possible breeding, the attraction of fertility teased at him. It was not the scent he wanted.
A spider emerges. The trap was baited well.
She shrugged, pushing her sweater sleeves up.
Sometimes the clumsiest tools are the most effective. You could be free in a single moment, Eldest. All that is necessary is to say the word.
His right hand became a fist, and the flexing of muscle pushed at his wrist, a red tide of pain sweeping up his arm.
Then I will be forced to treat with your companion, Fallen. She, at least, will listen to reason.
Both wrists burned now as his fists knotted. The candle guttered, recovered itself slowly.
If she is harmed...
Why would I harm her? She's so amenable. So willing to please.
He swept his eyes across the room at the windows. No sunlight. Another day gone while he worried at the walls of his prison, tearing apart the demonic magic that held him bit by bit, thread by thread. Inhuman patience. A single pointed will spurred by the need burning in his veins. Need like addiction. He wanted to see her again. He needed to see her again to reassure himself she was alive, unharmed. He needed to touch her.
You have not found her so. But of course not. And now all her frustrated passion for you will fall upon me. I am, at least, willing to simply ask her. She does not trust you.
She will know better in time.
He forced down rage. It would blind him, and he needed clear vision now.
She escaped and killed a hellhound, Eldest. Even now, she cries out your name as she dies wounded. No! Not by my hand, I assure you. Such a thing has never been seen before. Fallen's concubine overmatching a hound.
He shrugged.
You do not deceive me.
You are Fallen, yet with a demon's power. She is Hedera, bound to you and sharing in your newfound status. Such a pair could help me topple him, Eldest. Such a pair could name their price for support or service.
He closed his eyes.
You bore me.
What side will you choose if she ties herself to me? Answer me that, Deathbringer. Should I add any of your other titles? Right Hand? Kinslayer?
He said nothing.
She had this.
He opened his eyes again. Saw, with no real surprise, the book. How had she found it? How had she had time to find it? Or was it another lie?
I think perhaps I should read it to her. I may even teach her the language it is written in. It will make a wonderful bedtime story.
His legs twitched, ready to bring him to his feet. but it was still not yet time. He closed his eyes again, did his best to close his ears.
Pleasant thoughts, Ellist.
My fingertips fell away from the mark, and I blinked up at a ceiling made of blue. Deep dark blue velvet hung in waves, stitched with tiny little things that glittered in the low clear light pouring in through a gray, rain-speckled window. The bed was fit for a princess, four-postered and choked in dark blue silk and velvet. I pushed myself up on my elbows. My tender head reminded me someone had been messing with my psychic shields. Silk sheets slid cold against my naked skin. There was a Nivron fireplace spitting blue flame, and the decor ran a heavy faux renaissance. A slice of white-tiled bathroom gleamed through an open door. Two chairs, both of blue-watered silk, and something incongruous, a steam-driven radiator, painted white, set under the window.
I thought there weren't any of those left.
If I hadn't been so research-oriented, I might not have recognized it. As it was, I'd swallowed history books whole all my life. My eyes closed, slowly, as if my eyelids were falling curtains. The moments seen through Jaframel's eyes had taken on the quality of a dream, fuzzy and fading.
What dream is this before my eyes? Dreams, the children of an idle brain. I dreamed a dream, and lo, my dream was taken from me.
Louis. My head echoed with jabs of pain, poking into my temples. My mental shields had held up, demon strong, but old scars had ripped apart again, as if my psyche was part of my flesh and torn open. A nervous trembling like voltage through a faulty AI relay quaked up from my bones. I was cold and feverish at the same time.
After life's fitful fever, he sleeps well.
I could almost smell the coffee Louis used to drink. A thick espresso cut with cream. I could feel my child self's cheek resting on my hand as I listened to his flexible voice slide through the ancient words, strangely accented.
Lord, what fools these mortals be. Night and day, the gates of dark death stand open.
I will always come for you.
My eyes flew open. My sword lay sheathed next to me, my right hand curled loose around the hilt. My bag, a dimple of darkness, lay against the bottom of the bed. I sensed others moving in this place, but the sounds were different, too light and quick, or too groaningly heavy. They were not the human sounds of an inhabited house. The air was thick and heavy with power, the walls protected with demon shielding. I recognized it as the type of shields Jaframel had laid in every room we'd shared. Shielding to keep a room invisible, to keep everything inside safe. My bedroom in Toscano had been blue too, but the light in that bedroom had been warm. Southern sun flooding every surface. This light was cold, gray, and wet. Saint City light. I reached for my bag. My abdomen protested. The sight of the gauntlet, no longer dull silver but turned dark as if corroded, barely stopped me. I couldn't tell if the cold clasping my flesh was from the cuff or not.
I don't care either.
I dragged my bag across velvet, flipped it open, and found it unransacked. Even Celine's book was still there. It was small, the size of a Holovid still romance, and in the light I saw the cover, too fine-grained to be leather.
Did I really see the book in Eve's hands through Jaframel's eyes? Did Eve slip it back into my bag? Or is Jaframel even able to lie to me while I look through his eyes? I wouldn't put it past him. But there's no way for him to know when I was going to touch the mark. Eve wants my help. She wants his help, too. If she can't have both of us, she'll take me. I don't blame her at all. I don't even mind her telling him about my frustrated passion for him.
Hey, you can't argue with the truth. My fingers trembled, the chipped black polish on my nails glowing mellow. My cuff ran and rang with green light, the fluid lines carved in it twisting and straining. Sheets and blankets pooled in my lap, my golden skin unmarked but feeling stretched thin, too strained. Hederai Ocasus Demoni was stamped into the cover with guilt. It looked old, and the faint spice of demons clung to every closely written page. It was written in a spidery alien hand, the ink deep maroon on vellum pages. It was in a language I had no hope of reading, vaguely Arabic, but with plenty of spiked diacritical marks I couldn't decipher.
Useless unless I do some more research, find someone who knows what language this is and has time to teach me or translate it.
I dropped it in my bag as if it had burned me. It was skin, but not animal skin. I yanked my bag closed and tightened my grip on my sword. I sensed her before the door opened, the black diamond fire of a demon's aura. When the door opened, I heard no click of a lock, and Eve stepped in. I pulled the sheet up with my right hand, covering my chest and wadding the silk against the mark on my shoulder. My left hand closed around my sword so tightly the knuckles turned white. She was slim, with sleek pale hair and flashing dark blue eyes. Today she wore white, a pristine crisp button-down shirt with the tapered sleeves that were fashionable now, a pair of bleached jeans, good boots. Doreen had always worn sandals.
Doreen. She looks like Doreen. The same triangular face and wide eyes, the same way of tilting her head.
She folded her arms, and I breathed in the smell of androgyne, the power flooding from her, sparking along my nerve endings.
Dante, I brought you clothes. And explanations.
The hellhounds. The wrist cuff above my dat band glowed green. Velokel?
Only one was ours, and only supposed to find you so I could speak with you. The other I do not know. Kel would not harm you, Dante. He knows how much you mean to me.
Is that why you tried to tear my head open like a soda float can?
You have Jaff.
Yes. It was a stroke of luck, capturing instead of killing him.
Her pale hair was as sleek as a silken cap. Her skin glowed, burnished gold.
I'd hoped you would be able to distract him.
Me too.
He's persistent. A thin trickle of heat in my belly made my stomach turn.
I am not a sex witch. I do not respond this way to power.
But I did, didn't I? After all, I was staring at her, at the shape of her lips, filling my lungs with the scent of her. Fresh bread, musk, and demon. A smell that whipsawed me between terror and desire. A smell that made it difficult to think straight. Pheromones like a sex witch, drenching the air. She smelled like Lucifer, but she didn't scare me the way he did.
We've had a difficult time evading the eldest.
You and me both. He kept putting me to sleep without my realizing it. I asked him not to hunt you, Eve. I begged him not to hunt you. And not to lie to me. She made an expressive gesture with one hand, brushing away the need to explain.
Demons lie, Dante. It's in the nature of the thing.
Her lips quirked up into a half smile. My own expression, familiar.
Is it true? Is she also my daughter? The sample Santino took from Doreen contaminated with my blood as well? Doreen's daughter, Gabe's daughter. Both mothers dead and depending on me. How am I gonna pull this one off?
Do you lie too?
Maybe. I suppose you'll have to figure out if you can trust me. There are no guarantees. I brought you fresh clothes. Then I'll take you to see the eldest.
She held up the handful of material. Jeans and something else. My throat closed up.
He's here. In the same building, maybe? The mark is numb. Maybe because whatever they have him trapped in cuts him off from me.
What if I don't want to see him? The light caressed her face. Ran its fingers over her hair, touched the arc of her golden neck where the pulse beat. She shrugged.
How else are you going to know if I'm lying?
I tore my eyes away from her face, away from the slope of her breasts under the crisp white cotton. My eyes fell on my sword's curved length, resting against the velvet in the glowing indigo sheath Jaframel had given me. I have a revenge to do.
I won't force you, Dante. I'll ask for your support, but I won't force you.
She approached, laid the clothes on the end of the bed.
Your weapons are there on the floor. Whenever you're ready, you may go on your way or see the eldest as you wish. If you decide to throw in your lot with us, we'll welcome you. You killed a hellhound. There's not many that could have done so.
Yeah, well, it almost killed me too. It was trying to take my heart out through my ribs the hard way.
The hellhound was trying
to... The one we sent was supposed to find you and bring you to us, not harm you. I'm sorry, Dante. Events have become... complex.
Complex. I'm getting to hate that word. When someone says it's getting complex, the translation usually is Danny Valentine's about to get screwed. I have revenge to accomplish and Gabe's daughter to collect. I don't have time for demon games.
Leander. And Lucas. The demon...
The demon who brought you to us was uninterested in the others, Dante. Kel mistreated you, and for that I am sorry. I will punish him if you like.
Oh, gods, leave me the hell out of this. I don't need another demon mad at me. Just add it to my laundry list.
If you like.
No. Where did they go? Did they sense the demon coming? Gods grant they got out of there in time.
As you like. If you change your mind, all you have to do is tell me.
As soon as she closed the door, I scrambled up out of the bed to get dressed. My legs were a little shaky, but still solid. And once I had clothes on, I felt a lot better. If I kept moving, the vision of Eddie's shattered body and the vision of Gabe's broken, battered, bloody one wouldn't torture me so much. If I could just keep moving, I might be able to get through this. The clothes were, well, they were almost certainly Eve's. The sweater was too big for me, as was the silk t-shirt. But they were clean, and the jeans fit, and the boots were my size even if they were too new. They would need hard use before they were good. My head gave an amazing flare of pain. So did my left shoulder. I crouched at the foot of the bed for a little while with my sword in my hands and my forehead pressed into the velvet of the coverlet. The shivers and hyperventilating finally stilled. Even my god was silent. There was no blue glow, no comforting sense of being held in death's hands. There was only the breathless sense of waiting. For what? True to Eve's word, my weapons rig was tangled on the floor by the bed. Everything was undisturbed. I buckled myself in and wished for a microfiber shirt and a coat. Jace's necklace still rested against my throat, pulsing reassuringly as my fingers touched the knobs of the baculum. The mark on my shoulder had turned warm but quiescent, feeling like normal skin for the first time since it had been pressed into my flesh. The cold retreated bit by bit, and the sense of being watched returned, but oddly distant.
As if something is trying to see me, through layers of interference. Something deadly and inimical.
The gauntlet was dead dark against golden skin, its surface swallowing instead of reflecting light.
Gods, I don't think I'm thinking clearly.
My right hand shook when I held it out in front of me. I tried to stop it, but the harder I tried, the harder it vibrated. My fingers jittered like a slickboard needing tuning. That reminded me of the Valkyrie, under a hedge in the rich bayfront part of town.
I want the slickboard.
It was a ridiculous thing to focus on. But it seemed the only thing that mattered was the sleek black deck, gleaming as I pressed its power cell and flung myself into open air, going fast enough to outrun...
What? First things first, Dante. Get this the fuck over with so you can kill the fucking traitors. Then you can go on living. Everything else, demons, hell, Lucifer, even Eve, can wait.
I stopped the trembling in my hands by simply clamping them around the sword's slenderness. Once I got right down to it, the world was really simple.
All I have to do is just cut out the bullshit and decide who to kill first.
I found Eve waiting for me in the hall, leaning against the wall and looking out a long window while gray light washed her face. She stood slumped, as if tired. But she turned to me with a smile, as Doreen always had, and my heart thudded in my throat.
It's so nice to see the sun.
Her smell mixed with mine, a fleshy, ripe combination of musk and cinnamon, demon and female.
I missed that in hell. A year in hell isn't the same as a year on Earth.
I hope I never find out personally.
I glanced out the window, saw a slice of green and a high concrete wall. The hall was long, with high narrow windows. Blank doors stood at even intervals.
You were never allowed to come out?
Coming to your world is a privilege for us. One earned only by obedience.
Eve peeled herself away from the wall.
I have not been obedient in the slightest.
The hall was painted white with a hardwood floor. It looked like an institutional hall, and the skin on my back roughened to phantom goose flesh at the thought that it might be a school. Or any old abandoned government building, maybe. Who knew? About all I could tell was that I was still in Saint City. Eve's fingers closed around mine. She was too close. I flinched. Demons had a spooky habit of getting too damn close to me.
Maybe they like to move in on humans and see them flinch. Only I'm not quite human, am I?
The Androgyne's hand was warm. Her skin, impossibly soft.
Peace, Dante. Breathe.
It was what Jaframel always told me. It was enough like him that I felt my shoulders unloose. I closed my eyes. The iron bands squeezed around my lungs loosened a little. I dragged air down into the very bottom of my belly, and blessedly saw the blue glow of death rise behind my eyelids. It wasn't much, just subtle traceries of blue fire, but it made the shakes settle down.
My God, at least, has never betrayed me.
When I opened my eyes, I found Eve's face inches from my own, her nose almost touching mine. Her eyes were like Doreen's, dark blue except for the gold of her skin and the green gem glittering above and between her eyes. It was like looking at Doreen again. The crucial millimeters of difference weren't so visible close up. The overlay of demon that made her so exotic. Was there a similarity to my own face lurking in her bones? My daughter. All I had left of my Sedain lover.
Better?
I've gotta go. I've got a revenge to finish before I'm free to handle the rest of this. Now my knees were shaking for a different reason. She was so close, I drowned in her smell. Fire rising through my bones, and blood and flesh. A heat I recognized, pounding in my wrists and throat, and low in my belly. I stepped back, breaking her hold on my hands. She let me go. There was a faint smile playing on her lips, an expression that was neither Doreen's nor mine, or even her own.
It reminds me of Lucifer. A slight, cruel lift of the corners of the lips, the eyes lit from within, the entire shape of the face changing from sweet or tired to predatory.
Desire turned to ice, crackling through me. Gray light bleached her platinum hair even further, made her eyes lighter than their usual dark blue. With the emerald glowing in her forehead, her eyes took on a slightly green cast.
You?
She shook her hair back and was again familiar. Or, if not familiar, then at least more like what I thought I recognized.
Demons lie, Danny. Demons lie.
But Eve hadn't done anything to make me distrust her. As a matter of fact, she was the only demon I seemed to be able to believe at this point.
See him, please. If you would, Dante.
Weariness swept over me, sucked at my legs.
What does it matter? I know what I need to know where my revenge lays. 5 minutes facing down Jaframel won't matter one way or another, will it?
Can he get out? Her shrug was a marvel of even fluidity.
He's the eldest. Even an androgyne can't hold him for long. Even in a circle made harder to break by the use of his Hedera's name. No one except the prince could hold him. And perhaps not even that.
She studied me for a moment, her hands dropping graceful and loose to her sides.
Of course. If you broke even a single line of the circles around him, that would set him completely free. I only ask for a little warning, enough to get my people out of here. We fear him.
The set, level look in her blue eyes convinced me.
You used my name in a circle to trap him? No wonder he's pissed.
I tasted copper. There's a bunch of demons running around loose. What's going on?
My rebellion, it seems, has spread. I suspect that isn't what worries him the most, though.
As usual, when she mentioned Lucifer, her lip curled and her expressive eyes filled with disdain and loathing. Not to mention a healthy dose of fear.
The treasure. The key.
So he's told you?
He wouldn't tell me. We saw the Angelicos in Sarajevo, though. I didn't have time to tell you.
We're searching for something, Dante. A weapon that can change our fortunes and turn our rebellion into a successful coup. It will take time to track it down, but there have been most encouraging signs. And once we have that weapon, he is welcome to find us.
A weapon? So the treasure is a weapon.
What's the key?
Not what, Dante. Who? We don't know who the key is yet, but I have a good idea. I think I'm the only one who does. When the time comes, the key will be revealed. I think that's what the Eldest is afraid of. If he finds the weapon first, he won't be in a position to dictate to the Prince. If I find it, he may find himself on the losing side. If that happens, you may well be the only person who can save him. He's too dangerous to be allowed to live.
You mean you...
For your sake, I want to give him every chance. You are, after all, the only mother I have left. Will you help me, Dante?
Gods above and below, you don't even have to ask. I'm already in up to my neck because I'm helping you. I might as well drown.
Okay. My throat was dry, my heart pounded in my wrists and temples. I could even feel the pulsing of my femoral arteries, my heart thundered so hard. Lead the way. Let's get this over with. I was right. This had been a school. I knew because they had him in the gymnasia. A huge wood-floored expanse, pierced with shafts of cool light from the high-up windows. Bleachers had been pulled away from the walls and taken out so nothing remained but bare-stained expanses of painted wall and grav-ball hoops bolted to either end of the long room. Jaframel was in the south end. It was just as I'd seen it, and I had to shake away the persistent, doubled feeling of living out a premonition.
Would you prefer to be alone?
I shook my head and motioned her inside. She closed the door and leaned against it, waiting. I squared my shoulders and walked across the wooden floor. Halfway there, the mellow shine turned to glass underfoot. Seamlessly, a glossy black obsidian sheet rose up and supplanted the flooring.
Demons are such snazzy interior decorators.
I grabbed at the darkly humorous thought as if it was floating debris, and I was drowning.
Hey, if I'm still cracking jokes, I'm okay. Maybe.
Kind of.
Not really. The key isn't a what, it's a who. And if I can't convince Jaff to back off, a weapon that could kill the devil.
My fingers tightened on the hilt, the gauntlet's heavy cold weight a reminder of the promise I'd made. The one I was about to break.
You could just as easily kill Jaff. Then I'd have to resurrect him. I never want to do that again. I don't even know for sure what will bring him back other than fire. Lots of fire. And maybe blood. He says enough blood would do the trick, but how do I know for sure?
The air in here was thick and still, curdled with magic. It almost made my eyes water. He sat cross-legged in the middle of the circles, his back straight and his long black coat lying wetly against the floor behind him. In front of him, the candle with the blood-red flame now flickered and guttered, the streak of red light a good 4 inches high. There was about 3 inches left of wax for it to burn through.
When the candle's snuffed, what will happen? But he'll probably be loose by then.
I could see the layers of magic, woven too tightly and skillfully to be human, glowing with the icy tang of demon power. I could also see his careful, patient unraveling, working at the threads that held the borders of the circles. My eye traveled over them, marking each symbol in a magi-trained memory. This was demon magic, a kind Jaframel would never share with me.
If it can trap him here like a silkworm in a carry jar, I can almost understand why. And if Eve had used my name in the binding, and it held him here this long?
I didn't want to think about that. I didn't want to think about how furious he was going to be once I finished what I was about to say. My hands were shaking again. I clasped them around the sword, and I remembered something. I freed my right hand for long enough to dig in my bag, eyeing him nervously the whole time. Jaframel said nothing, merely sat. His head dropped. Ink-black hair fell down, hiding his eyes. His shoulders were military straight under the liquid blackness of his coat. His golden hands lay loosely in his lap. I could see no mark on his wrists. His sleeves covered them. The chain twisted, dangling the sapphire from my fingers. I held it out, swallowed harshly, then forced my shaking hand open and let it drop. It hit the glassy floor, 4 feet from the border of the outside circle, the one holding the pentacle that nested the square and inmost circle in its heart. I could see the shimmering, brittle veils of energy, focused and curved so any direct attack from Jaframel's side would shunt the force directly back at him. Eve wasn't lying. All I had to do was touch, and the outer layers of the magic would crack and fall away. You could not make a shield like this impervious on both sides, even with all a demon's power. At the small chiming of the necklace meeting the floor, he slowly raised his head and looked at me, his eyes halting for just the barest moment at my left wrist and the dead black weight of the gauntlet. I would have backed up, lifted the sword between me and his laser-green gaze again, but the granite egg inside my chest cracked. Rage boiled up, hot and satisfying. I returned to myself with an incendiary jolt. It felt good to let the anger out, as if a valve had been opened, some of the awful pressure bleeding away. I narrowed my eyes and stared back, hoping it was just as uncomfortable for him.
It's not bloody likely, but a girl can hope, can't she?
Dante.
Hey, sunshine. Glad to see me?
I clamped down on the shutters jolting through me.
Jaframel.
The command was immediate, peremptory.
Release me.
Oh, not even a hi, how are you?
The fury mounted another pitch.
Giving me orders again, huh? Well, now that you can't manipulate me and lull me to sleep while you run around doing God knows what, I suppose it's about all you have left.
It shouldn't have made me angry, but it did. What the hell for? I told you, I warned you. I begged you not to hunt her, didn't I? I begged you not to lie to me, not to keep things from me. But I suppose that's all a human's good for. Begging.
He shrugged.
Shit! He shrugged at me!
It was a good thing my hands were shaking so badly, I decided. Otherwise, I might have done something completely idiotic, like draw my sword and charge through the circles. Hate surged inside me, all the more intense for the spoiled affection and broken trust underneath it. I knew it wasn't fair to blame him for everything.
But it's so easy, so convenient. He's here, and so is my daughter, and I might be the only thing standing between them.
I would have to be enough.
You bastard. You motherfucking demon.
I am what you make of me.
His right hand curled into a fist. His eyes flicked away to the red candle flame, which began to smoke and sputter.
I warned you not to make me savage, Dante.
Me? This is my fault? You're the one who deceives and manipulates, and you...
You are the prince's right hand. And you are implicitly aiding his enemies. Against your own Anan Kimel, I might add, the demon who fell through love of you. Where is your precious honor in that?
I don't think either of us believed he'd said that. The glassy floor creaked and shifted as the circles fought to contain him, and won, but just barely.
They're right. He is gonna get out soon. And all the gods help us when he does.
So it's war. Me and Eve on one side, you and the devil on the other.
Do not be so sure. I will have your compliance, Dante, one way or another. Free me now, and I can promise I will deal gently with the Androgyne and her rebellion. I can perhaps even save some of them.
Well, at least he's being honest about not being on my side, for once.
The grapple hoop nearest us shivered. The bolts holding it to the wall squeaking a thin song of agonized metal. The air sparked and danced like carbolic tossed across reactive paint, glittering and smoking.
There's not a single thing you can swear on now that I would believe, eldest.
I backed up one step, two, unwilling to turn my back on him. My traitorous eyes still drank in his face.
I wish he would look at me.
I buried the wish as soon as it appeared.
I could swear on my Hedera.
Save it for someone who gives a fuck. We're over, Jaframel. It's war. His eyes left the candle flame, traveled slow and scorching across the floor, met my boots, slid gelid and heavy up my legs, caressed my torso, and finally found my face. The mark on my shoulder crunched with fresh sensation, steel fire braiding into my skin and turning to velvet, driving a fresh wave of numbness back down my arm and almost to the cuff. I ignored it.
I'm getting very good at ignoring that feeling.
Two spots of color flamed high on his cheekbones. His eyes were incandescent, and he had never looked so much like Lucifer.
There is nothing on this earth or in hell that will keep me from you. I am your fallen.
I lifted the sword slightly, the hilt mercifully deflecting his eyes from mine.
Whatever weapon Eve's looking for, I hope she finds it. The next time I see you, I'm going to fight you with everything I have. I trusted you, Jeffermil. You betrayed me first.
He said nothing. There didn't seem to be much else to say. I turned my back on him. I walked away. His eyes were on me the whole time, a weight against my shoulders. It took an eternity to reach the door. Eve slid her arm over my shoulders, and I was glad because I didn't think I could stay upright much longer. She glanced back over her shoulder at Jeffermil and ushered me out into the hall. I felt something inside my chest snap like a bone breaking. I ducked away from under her arm as soon as I could stand. I need a slick board and I need to get going. I've got business to finish.
Whatever it is, be quick about it. That won't hold him for long.
She looked like she wanted to say something else. Maybe something ridiculously human like, "Are you okay?" But I knew the answer to that.
I am not okay. I'm never gonna be anything close to okay ever again. I've just thrown down the gauntlet, ha-ha. And when he gets out of there, he's gonna come looking for me.
It was all out in the open now. His lies and my refusal to live up to my end of the bargain we'd made with Lucifer.
Now it's war, and I don't think he'll fight fair.
I didn't think I would fight fair either. Not with Eve depending on me. I squared my shoulders, willed my legs to stop trembling.
I've got some business to finish. Where are we gonna hook up?
She nodded slightly. It was an implicit agreement. I was breaking my word to Lucifer. I had betrayed Jeffermil. It was all over but the screaming, as they used to say.
Now I just need to get this wrist cuff off and we'll be ready to tango.
If you can, meet me in Paradise. If not, I'll find you.
Paradise. In Hegemony Frange. The glittering suspended city of 1,000 lights and the dark side underneath.
Great place to hide, especially for a demon.
I nodded. My eyes were suspiciously full and hot. Eve leaned forward. Her breath brushed my cheek. And then her cool, scented mouth met my skin. That short, gentle, chaste kiss on my cheek scorched all the way through me. When she backed away, I found I could stand up straight. I could even unlock my hands from my sword and push back a few strands of my rebellious hair. The hallway quivered, the dust in the air holding its breath.
Does that mean the bargain struck? Sealed with a kiss. The kiss of betrayal. I can't win against Jeffermil, but I can't betray Eve either. I'm fucking doomed.
Thank you. I won't forget this.
I have a sneaking suspicion I won't either. I just did the one thing a necromance should never do. I've broken my word.
I know. Do me a favor and get out of here fast. He's closer to breaking out than you think. I called Jado from a public call box in the university district, leaning against the side of the booth and watching the crowd of late afternoon shoppers contending with the steady, persistent drizzle. Another storm was moving in. I could tell from the way the rain smelled and the air was full of uneasy crackles. Whether that storm was weather or trouble, I couldn't tell. I suspected it was both.
Both Cam and Mercy are gone. I don't know where.
Not particularly surprising. I'd expected it. Jado still had the sealed pouch with the master sheets and file.
It'll take more than either of them have to steal from him.
Have you found what you are looking for?
After a fashion, Sensei. For once, I felt just as tired as I sounded. Thank you.
I'll keep in touch.
Taxi!
The driver, a fat, pasty normal in a blue felt hat, for once didn't mutter or turn pale when he saw my tat. He seemed blissfully unaware that I was a Scion.
Well, little miracles do happen.
Drive Isidiro, North End. Get me there 15 minutes ago.
I only hope I'm not too late.
Jace taught me more about bounty hunting in a single year than all the law enforcement supplements at the Academy had in 5. The first rule, he always said, was to understand your prey. When you comprehend the nature of what you hunt, you understand what it is capable of and can anticipate its next move. I watched as dusk fell over Tri-Visadero, chill purple shadows gathering in rain-drenched corners. The high walls of Gabe's property line stood mute under a lash of rainy, just above freezing wind. The shields were still viable, the work I'd done binding them together holding steady. I leaned against the wall of my hiding spot, tucked between another house's high walls and a dripping holly hedge prickling against my hand and shoulder and hip, poking through wet fabric. I waited still and quiet, counting on the instability of the storm and the flux of power to keep me hidden, since I was having a hard time keeping myself buttoned down anymore.
I need rest. I need food. I need sleep.
I wasn't going to get any of what I needed.
Best just to deal with it.
There's a mind-numbing brand of circular mental motion that takes place while you're on stakeout. I thought about Jaffermel, would remind myself not to think about him and wrench my mind into remembering Gabe, lying tangled in a young hemlock. I would think of Gabe's daughter and a hollow still smile.
Will she have the dimple in her left cheek like Gabe? Will she have a hoarse little braying laugh like Eddie? Will I be able to protect her while I'm running from both Jaffermel and Lucifer, trying to keep Eve alive long enough to make a difference? Though Eve doesn't seem to be doing too badly. What the hell does she need me for? What is it with demons being so interested in me?
Which would lead me right back to thinking about Jaffermel. I shouldn't have been, but I was surprised. Wearily, heart-wrenchingly surprised each time I thought of it.
He's a demon. His idea of truth isn't necessarily mine. To him, I might be no more than a valued possession, a pet even. You love your cat or your cloned koi, but you don't treat it like a human. No, you pet it, you feed it, take it to the anemone for its shots and checkups. You don't treat it like a partner or an equal. Did he think that it would push me back on Lucifer's side if he appeared to be in danger? Or did he miscalculate, not thinking Eve was strong or smart enough to catch him or hold him this long? Why?
If I could have asked him anything, that little word would be it. It would cover so much, if I could trust his answer.
But he had helped me while I cried, hadn't he? And no matter what kind of trouble I was in, I could usually count on him to bail me out. That was worth something, wasn't it?
I cherish my time with you.
I tore my thoughts away from him again with an almost physical effort, wondering about Lucas and Leander.
Where are they? Are they even now frantically looking for me? Or have they been killed?
There was no more time for thinking. My prey came down the sidewalk in the early morning dark, walking arm in arm as if they hadn't a care in the world. They might even have believed themselves safe. After all, what did a Sedain and a Saint City cop have to fear?
Only me.
Only me. I let them get through the shields. The layers of energy flushed a deep blue-green, settled as the healer stroked them. Bile rose in my throat.
Gabe would not have denied a Sedain entrance into her house, especially one working with Eddie. So she would have been already inside when something alerted Gabe to a possible attack on her property, and the defenseless healer inside. Gabe, sword in hand, went out alone to defend her home and got shot. Then it was child's play for the healer to clean the psychic traces inside Gabe's house after she and the normals she'd let in through Gabe's shield searched for the vials. Just like now, it's child's play for the healer to slip in through the defenses with her normal in tow.
I let them get inside the dark, silent house, then drifted across the street and touched the shields, softly, a kitten's brush of a touch, warning them not to react to me.
Gabe's work recognizes me. How can it not?
I slid through the layers of energy slowly, so slowly. I pushed through Gabe's front gate. Even if there had been Saint City PD maid shielding or a lock on the place as the site of a homicide, a cop would have no trouble getting clearance. Especially a normal homicide deet flush with dirty chill money.
Everything's so neatly arranged. Everything so perfectly planned. Down to the fact that I bet hard credit the cop has the missing fifth vial to sell to the highest bidder. The sample the healer probably talked Gabe into producing after Eddie's death.
I didn't know for sure, but that felt right. The front door was open. The windows, blank, empty, darkened eyes, watched as I approached carefully, cautiously, and closed my right hand around my sword hilt. Up the stairs to the massive door. Not the side door that any friend of Gabe and Eddie's knew to go to. I slid through the front door. I found the trigger by the front door. My fingers sliding over the base of a bronze statue. The statue was Eros in Psyche's embrace, his wings pulled close around the half-nude female. Eddie called it classic porn, and he sniggered like a damn primary school kid every time he passed it.
Of course, Eddie had a primary school kid's dirty mind. It was one of his greatest personality traits.
It was dark, but demon sight pierced the darkness easily. Showed me the coats and boots from Gabe's hall closet scattered in careless lumps, each pocket sliced.
They're coming back for another search, looking for the four vials I gave away.
I smelled Kiffy and Gabe's particular scent, the tang of Eddie's dirt-drenched aura. Then I felt the other scions shock as I dropped the outer layer of my shielding and blazed through the power-soaked house like a star. I pressed down on the trigger and had the satisfying experience of hearing the locks on each window and door click shut. Mage locks, to turn the house into a fortress. The front door slammed shut on automatic hinges and locked as well. I walked through the foyer, my boots absolutely silent. I could feel them both. The sloppy wash of the normal tainted with fear and thudding heart, copper adrenaline. And the healer's deep well of violet-scented calm, underlain with a slight, nasty, wet fur smell of panic, fighting with her training and genetic disposition to tranquility.
The kitchen.
I gave them plenty of time, walking slowly, the rage rising until my aura flushed red, almost in the visible range. A low, punky, crimson stain spread through the trademark swirling glitter of a necromancer's aura, mixing with the black diamond flames of an almost demon. Strength flowed hot down my left arm, poured through the mark on my shoulder.
I wonder if Jaframil can feel me drawing on the mark, can feel my anger.
I didn't care. The sword whispered out of its sheath as I stepped into the hall. Nothing had changed. The place still looked like a tornado had hit it. It hadn't even been dusted or scanned for prints. It hadn't even been touched by a reader or another necromance.
I would think they'd go through the motions of investigating for a cop as good as Gabe. Or has this case been given to Pontside too? Of course, if the chill cure is still here, they can't run the risk of anyone else finding it. Not after they've tossed the house with a scion to clean up the traces of normals trooping through.
If the cops didn't care or were unable to investigate, Gabe would never be avenged, and her daughter would remain in danger.
Not while I'm alive. Not while I have a single breath in me.
Tension, screaming in my shoulders. The cuff blazed with dappled, fluid green light. Light like Jaframel's eyes, blazing while he looked up from the floor. I drew in a long, sweet breath, scented with the old delicious smell of Gabe's house. The scent landscape of a place lived in and loved by generation after generation of necromancers. I stepped around the corner and into the kitchen. Pain tore into my chest. Black blood rose to seal the bullet wounds away. The bullets from a Glock Strike 983 projectile repeater would have killed a human scion, But I was no longer human. The man firing was Pontside. He was blonde, but his muddy hazel eyes were the same as hers. He wore a crumpled gray suit and a damp tan trench coat. A gleaming badge clipped to the front pocket of his blue cotton button-down shirt. I could see the resemblance. They shared a parent, at least.
Does Pontside hate Scions because his half-sister is one and he isn't? Or does he simply hate all of us except her because he's a cop? Or does he even hate his sister? Fuck it, who cares?
I blurred, moving with inhuman speed. My sword was a solid arc of silver, white flame singing in its heart as I carved Pontside's hand off at the wrist. Blood sprayed. I kicked him. Heard his ribs snap under the force of the blow. He fell backward, grinding into broken dishes. The gun, with his hand still clutching it, thumped wetly on Gabe's kitchen floor. Revenge filled my mouth, sweet and hot. I stamped down hard into his fair blonde face.
No!
It was like kicking a watermelon with fragile glass bones. Pontside's body jerked and twitched, flopping. I saw the light as the soul fled. One sharp burst of brilliance fading into the foxfire glow of false life, the nerves beginning to die in increments.
Fucker! I want to stuff your soul back in your body and kill you again, but I'll settle for her, the bigger traitor.
Mercy's eyes were wide and dark. Sweat stood out on her pale skin, darkening her plain blue t-shirt. The smile stretched my lips, a grimace that made her flinch and cower against the kitchen island, her hips smacking plates and pushing them down. I studied her for a long moment, my sword flicking. Blood smoked off the blade, the smell of violets and white mallow mixed with the reek of blood and stink of released bowels. I lifted the blade.